Good afternoon. Welcome to The Journey 8. I'm your host, Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and take a few moments to breathe as we share this journey together. Okay, I admit it, I'm still in love with Will of Titus. Good evening, it's Monday night on September 14th, and I'm Reverend Hosner, and you have reached the Journey 8. Yeah, 8, because 7 was already taken, so I took the next number, which was my birthday, so there. I'm flying along tonight, and that's okay. I've got the ship ready, and I think we should go. So, again, welcome to the Journey 8, and that was Will of Titus with Nothing's Impossible. I picked that song tonight because the theme of tonight's program is going to be about impossible stuff. And we'll get to that in a little while, but as usual, I'm going to try and cover a few things. As you can tell, my throat's a little raspy. I've been speaking way too much today and singing way too much today. However, I know you can hear me, so there. Listen, we've talked about many a thing, and you know, being a startup show is always hard because you want to do a million things and you can only do 100 things. Or you want to do 100 things and you can only do 10. We're trying to put our eggs in the right baskets, and we appreciate all of you that have been listening. I mean, I think we're up to maybe 50 listeners now. I'm sure it's more than that, but anyway, you know, if you're patient with us, you will see as the rest of this year goes on some, you know, changes, and we're trying to fit, you know, the emails that I get about the show. I'm, you know, this show isn't for me. It's for you. It's a dream for me, but it's the show is for you. So here we go with some unfinished business, and this isn't all of it, but you know, some of it I just don't have an answer for you, and I'll be honest. The main thing is the website. You know, a lot of people are getting confused when I say the website, because we actually are in two different places, because I'm schizophrenic. No. So we have our home at BBS Radio. They are wonderful. They provide a page or two for all of us who are hosting shows to kind of tell you how to find us and who we are. And I think there's a blog in there I haven't learned to use yet. And so in that page or on that page, which is bbsradio.com/thejourney8, you have all kinds of information. You can listen to us on your computer if you're sitting in front of your computer doing stuff by logging into that page and just hitting that big white circle to the left. I think it has an F in it. Not sure. It's an alphabet of some sort. Or what most people do, because they're either in the car on your way home if you're on the West Coast, is that they listen in either by calling 716-748-0150 if you just want to listen, or if you want to say something to me, please be kind. That is 888-627-6008. If you're listening to me already, then you probably have one of these three things, or you wouldn't be listening to me, right? So the website at BBS Radio is just kind of a biography so that y'all know who I am. But the website for The Journey 8, which is our own website, has a lot of our specific information on it, is, of course, www, if you still feel like adding those, you don't need to anymore, thejourney8.com. And you'll see as we go along the transition or transformation of that website. The graphics are coming along well. The email, of course, is revjudy@thejourney8.com. So that's kind of the unfinished old business, along with some things such as the show in the park, which is coming up in October. And I'm going to move to something rather new. We've kind of mentioned it in coming and going. Excuse me. But that is the Christmas album that I'm working on. And I have enough information that I think I can safely say this. The album is scheduled to be released on November something. That's not nice. November 21st, the week before Thanksgiving. And for those of you who don't know, the Christmas album that I record started as a family project several years ago, in that I hate sending Christmas cards. So I started recording a Christmas album, and we distributed about 300 of them last year. Now, I don't have 300 relatives, so obviously some of you got them. You can order it right now. The only sure way I know that you can get it is by sending a check for $10, of course. I don't have means to take credit cards or anything. We're too little yet, but someday I will. So you can send that to The Journey 8 P.O. Box 411, Gibsonville, our little town in Gibsonville, North Carolina, 27249. And that information will be on the Journey 8's website. And I'm going to try and find a place to put a picture of the album and stuff on the BBS website. The music, actually, the name of the album is Joy. We've been naming them after the candles of the Advent wreath. And so Joy, which is the pink candle, is this year's album. And I have several songs on there that I've been working on for a couple years. Ave Maria is one of them and is one of the cornerstone songs. And I hope y'all enjoy it. So as that comes along, you'll see it if you go to the webpage, and we'll try and remember to remind you. We'll remember to remind you of the ordering information. Now, that's all the news. Are you still with me? Stop snoring over there in the corner. Wake up. Here's the deal. We have been getting a lot of email, as I mentioned, and some of the email refers to the old days. So I know these are always listeners that have followed me through the transition from Blog Talk to BBS Radio, where I'm very happy. These people are awesome. If you want to do your own show, you should contact these guys. They've just done wonders. The main gist I'm getting of the email is they want more of the old stuff. Now, the old stuff, for those of you who are newbies, is where I would come on and in a very serious voice do a very serious homily. Sometimes we'd have guests. I can't guarantee I'll go all the way back there, because I like not being so serious that I scare everybody off. You can go to other Christian radio stations and be scared. I am not scary. Okay, I am after Halloween, but anyway. So we're trying to bring back some of that, and we're going to start doing, I say we, Ellen's not here tonight. If you're listening, Ellen, hello. We're going to try and bring back some sort of homily. I don't want it to be too long, because the whole idea is that you are captured by a sentence or even a word or a title of something we say. I'm not good at thumping Bibles. I can if I have to. Plus, we all have bad weeks, and we all need some kind of lifting up. So although we have fun with our guests and things like that, and we'll continue to do some of that, the core of the show is to help you find some way back, or for those of you who never were, to find some way there. There being it with God, having some sort of spiritual relationship. You can call it God, you can call it whatever. But don't call it late for dinner. No, that's not true. So I'm here to help you, not to preach to you. Well, that sounds weird, doesn't it? Because I'm a preacher. Anyway, so tonight I thought, since my weekend was rather icky, that is a real word, icky, that I would focus on one of the things that are keystone to me in the preaching world, and that is the subject of faith. Now, I just heard about tensions drop and a lot of knees crumble and some walls fall. Here's the thing. If you're out there and you haven't heard me preach on faith or give you a message on faith, trust me, it's much easier than you think to listen to. And I hope you do, because I've encountered several things this week that have just stretched me to the max. You ever have one of those days where you get up and the first thing you do is put your slippers on the wrong feet? That's a little indication of the rest of the day. Yep, slippers on the wrong foot. Oh my gosh, I think I'd just stay here and cover my head back up. When I get out of bed and there's no slippers because I forgot to bring them to the side of the bed, then I know that it's even going to be more challenging. And I've learned through the years to take this as a challenge and not a defeat. So that's the reason for the song this morning, this evening. See, I've lost track of time already. Nothing's impossible. I say this with a true heart. Nothing is impossible if you put your mind, your heart, and your spirit in the right place. And the right place, of course, is the Almighty. So I thought I would dredge up, I guess is a good word, one of the messages that I wrote many years ago. And it's about faith and facing impossible. And how does that all work together? But before we do that, Mr. Engineer, can we play a song? And I'm not going to tell you who this is singing, called Jesus Loves Me. I think you got it today.
Our God sees all sides of who I am and hope to be. Sees all sides. There's a window right inside of me. There is no part within my heart that God won't recognize.
That's a dear friend, as I've mentioned before, of mine has been for 30 odd years. And her name is Carol Simpson. And that is the title song to the album All Sides. A phenomenal voice and beautiful. Anyway, so here we are. And I wanted to play a second song, but I'm going to wait for a few minutes and pipe this unknown person in. One of the things I wanted to mention was the title of tonight's talk or message is Faith in the Impossible. So if you had a day today where you put your slippers on the wrong foot and practically tripped yourself going to the bathroom, then faith in the impossible being that you didn't fall and you actually made a good day of it. Those are small little gifts from God. So faith in the impossible, we're going to get to that in just a second. I wanted to put the two scriptures that I just love these two. I love the 1st and 2nd Corinthians. If you haven't read the Bible or not that familiar with it and you want a good place to start, the books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, which is in the New Testament, about halfway through, letters from Paul, the Apostle Paul, to the church in Corinth, which was misbehaving. But they're letters about love and relationship and all that stuff and faith. So I chose those. And the first one is We Live by Faith, Not Sight, which is a very popular verse. It's 2 Corinthians 5, 7. And then this is a good one for all you wrong-slippered people. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. 1 Corinthians 1:27. When you think something is so far-fetched, stop and think again, because it might be a God thing. Okay, so let's do this. We got several songs tonight. I just felt musical or musable or... Never mind. So, Mr. Engineer, this is an unknown person. I don't think you've heard this voice before. And this was an a cappella trial at a song. Not so easy to sing a cappella, Jesus Loves Me. So if we can go with that. Maybe.
All right. A little variation on... Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus saved me years ago, died and rose to free my soul. I am his and he is mine right until the end of time. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus comes to me silent in my deepest dreams, holds me close when I am scared, always tells me he is there. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yeah, and there we go. Finishing up that chorus, of course. So that's the unknown singer. You may or may not have recognized the voice. It is not Tanya Tucker, nor is it Reba McEntire. So, all you that voted for that, guess what? Vote again. All right, so we're going to lead into, and like I said, this is a message that I wrote several years ago, just fresh out of seminary. And I think it still applies quite a bit today, actually. So, I don't know why I'm getting a message that says cancel. Have my ratings been that bad? Woo! Okay. Maybe not. Okay, here we go. So, as I said, the title or the theme of it is a nifty little thing called Faith in the Impossible. Faith in the Impossible. I read the scriptures to you earlier. So here we go. God calls people to seemingly impossible tasks. Isn't that true? Sometimes it's impossible just to get out of bed in the morning. Gives him glory when I can't do something, but he can. There are many, many, many things I cannot do. And there are many million infinity things. What are we doing here? I'm getting like, okay. Infinity things that he has the capability of doing. So that's where the old saying comes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But often what he calls me to do is something that seems foolish at the time. Foolish as in your friends and your family are going, what are you trying to do? You should really think about this. Are you sure that that is what you want to do? So the whole world sees it as, oh God, there she goes again doing something foolish. Kind of like Noah and Moses and so on and so forth. So here we are. We're attempting to do something foolish at the time. At the time. Imagine what the friends, getting back to Noah and Moses, what the friends of Noah and Moses must have thought. You know, here's Noah, for instance, and God calls him and he says, don't be afraid if others can't identify with your calling. You go ahead, Moses, and you build that boat. You build that boat. And I'm thinking, how old was Noah when he started? He was 500 years old. 500. Yeah, they lived a long time back then. I think they were vegetarians, maybe. But here's the thing. When he started, he was 500. How long did it take to build that ark? 100 years. 100 years. So here we are, Moses tapping away. People are laughing at him left and right because, of course, he's saying it's going to rain. Moses, of course, walking around in the desert for 40 years. Yeah. So I thought, when I wrote this paper originally, I thought to myself, if it's going to be of God and I'm going to be made to look silly, or I think I'm silly, or it looks impossible, how can I tell? In other words, am I just being silly, or is this really something of God? Well, I came up with 7 ways that I'm not going to tell you are guaranteed, but more than likely, if one of these passes you in your process of discernment, it's probably of God. First one, we've touched on it. Everyone says, it can't be done. What? You can't fly off that building without killing yourself? Well, that might not be of God, but, you know, you can't build an ark and hold animals in it for 40 days. What are you, nuts? You don't even know how to build a boat, which I don't, by the way. So that's your first clue. Everyone says it can't be done. Then you know, pray harder and the impossible will become possible. Second, and in the Bible, especially Old Testament, when people were called by God, Noah, Abraham, King David, all the way down the line, the first thing that came to their minds is, I am not qualified. Why are you picking me? Very good question, huh? So, if you have that doubt immediately when you feel like you've been given a task or, you know, a calling, and you say, I'm not qualified, I don't have enough education, I don't know anything about the Old Testament, I only learned the New Testament, I'm sorry, I'm Baptist, I can't do this, I'm Presbyterian, I'm this. You start doing that because you are finding a way to convince yourself not to do it. God turns that around and says, if I didn't think you weren't qualified, I would not have called you on the God phone. Yeah. That was number 2. And number 3, every preacher, teacher, pastor's nightmare. There isn't enough resources. It's not in the budget this year. It's not feasible. Well, the board of directors hasn't really given us that amount of money. That seems like a lot, doesn't it? Can you tell I've heard a lot of them over the years? Yes. You know, money, resources. When we say resources, 99% of the time, we're talking about money, funny money. So, you know, another good reason why you would want to say, I can't do this, I don't have the money, I can't start a radio show. I have old microphones, 1 iMac, and a cat who loves me. I don't have the resources. I'm not a millionaire. I don't have some big sponsor paying the way. I can't do this. Guess what? And then we have right brain, left brain kind of thing. It makes no sense what you're asking me to do. It's not logical. It's not rational. You want me to feed 5,000 people with some fish and a couple loaves of bread? Are you nuts? I mean, that must be what the disciples were thinking of Jesus when he was sitting there on the Mount of Olives. And yet, it happened. The impossible happened. 5,000, when they say 5,000, they're only counting men back then. So who knows what the real number is when you bring in the children and the mamas. But we'll go with 5,000. 5,000 people. It doesn't make sense. So that's 4 of these 7. And I think so far my favorite one, of course, is the, it's not in the budget this year. Can you imagine? I mean, think about this. Here you are, walking around, doing your thing, right? God strikes you with the God phone because you won't answer it, so he throws it at you. And hits you upside the head and says, now listen here, youngin. I have this task for you, and you're going to do it. And your answer back to the Almighty Spirit is, It's not in the budget this year. It's not in the budget this year. I'm sorry. We're going to have to wait till next year. God, surely you can, like, you know, make something happen. And of course, God's giving you this task so that you can make something happen. If he wanted to make it happen, which, I mean, ultimately he is making it happen, but, you know, the high spirit is saying, I could have done this 500 years ago. No, I think it'll turn out better if you do it. So, you know, the bargaining begins. I'm sorry, I don't have the money. If you would just give me the money, I'll go out and do anything. Oh, that's the problem. God knows that if he gave you the money, you would go out and do anything. I would. Hey, all you have to do is ask my family. You bought what? So, that's my favorite one so far. But here comes another one. People. Yeah, them people, you know, those people. Or even yourself. Call it stupid. This is the most ridiculous thing you've ever asked of me. I can't believe this. Are you out of your gourd? You, hey, that rhymes with Lord. Lord, are you out of your gourd? Slappy, I'm sorry. I'm floating this boat by myself. Where is my sidekick? Ah, I'm losing it. Here I am, trying to have a good time. Yeah, it's just me and my cat, who, by the way, is sleeping. Dang, I hate when they do that. It's kind of how the congregation is, too. So here you are, you're having this argument with God, which everybody's looking at you because you're doing it right in the middle of the street. And you're saying, this is stupid. What is this going to get me? Where are we going with this? Can I see the whole plan? Now, for those of you who might be, you know, a little rusty on the scriptures, there isn't one prophet, king, whatever, that knew the whole plan as it was being played out or before it was played out. Moses had no idea where he was going. He knew that he was leaving Egypt. Pack your bags and your old mama too. And scurrying out of there like his pants were on fire. Then he comes across the Pharaoh chasing after him. And what do they run up against? The Red Sea. Uh-oh, the impossible happens. Sea opens, and there goes Moses. He didn't know that was going to happen ahead of time. He had no idea they were going to wander for 40 years. Of course, he was in charge, and he was a man. And you know the rest of the story about directions. So anyway, they took their time, went through the desert. Look at Noah. God told him to build a boat and put animals on it. He didn't know ahead of time, other than God said it was going to rain. 40 days? Where are you at? You're in the desert in California. 40 days of rain? Nah, not so good. Especially if you live on the coast. Yeah, even worse. Okay, so here it is, stupid. But you do it anyway, right? Eventually. How many out you? Oh, that's right. I can't see you. We're on radio. All right. How many out there? And I'll just imagine you're raising your hands. Raise your hand unless you're driving. Then don't raise your hand. How many of you out there have known a plan that was being laid from beginning to end, right off the bat? Plans for a new building, plans for a new church, plans for whatever. No, rarely, unless we're planning vacation at Disneyland, and that's all fixed for you. Yeah, stupid. This is stupid. God says, no, it's not. Number five. I said number five. Number five. Number six, actually. I'm sorry. You know it was a God thing that in the end, when the task is done, God gets all the glory. The Spirit gets the glory, not you. You are a means by which something happens. You're a conduit. If you're really doing the work of the Most High, you are not the focal point. Or you shouldn't be. The focal point should go back to the Creator. So if it does, then you knew that it really was the right and cool thing all along, even though it seemed stupid at the time, or you didn't have the money, or it didn't make rational sense. All of those things. And when it happens that you finished whatever the task is, and sometimes tasks take a long time. You know, God doesn't necessarily give us easy, mamby-pamby kind of stuff to do. Because, why? Because it doesn't challenge our spirit, and we would get bored a third of the way into it. And you say, oh man, this is really, there's no challenge in this. The human nature is to be challenged, to be told, you're going to do this mission, you're going to go to China, I'm going to give you 10 days worth of rations and money. From there, you have to create a life. Yeah, I'm just picking China, it could be Tahiti. Tahiti would be nice. Anyway, the idea is that when it all comes together, whatever the mission is, God or the Spirit is glorified. That's all. That's what it's all about. And the last one is similar. It honors God and is true to His word. You know, everybody says, I trusted God once and, you know, it was a nightmare, an absolute nightmare. Nothing He said in the Bible came true for me. Nothing. I'm never going to read that book again. It was boring anyway. Had too many characters in it. Yeah. So you set in your mind that, you know, this God person, this spirit person that you talk about, he doesn't keep his word. He doesn't keep his word. So, well, that's a hard one for any preacher or pastor to try and jump over the fence. And it goes something like this. God didn't go back on what he bargained with you. You changed the game rules halfway through. You can't do God's work your way. I mean, you can try, but in the end, the Spirit God, whatever name you have for him, has a plan. You are the created. He is the creator. There's a difference here. You're the quarterback, but he's the manager. So on and so forth. So when you feel like you've been, framed, but when you feel like you've been let down, you need to reevaluate step by step what happened. So I'm not saying this little message, seven ways to know it's a God thing. And you hear me say God thing all the time. That's just one of my, I don't know, I picked it up a long time ago. God thing. God phone. God phone is when you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning with a message and you have to come down to the studio and write, even though you're half asleep. God phone, yes. God thing. So, you know, even though this little message confirms what you're attempting is from God, more often than not, What I'm trying to say is that you should not dismiss the call you believe God has placed in your life just because it doesn't fit into the, quote, normal sense, or it doesn't quite make sense to you at the time, or you don't have the resources, whatever one of these seven you want to pick. It's still a God thing, and you have to see it through. You have to see it through only because you need to prove to yourself in the end that, whoa, that was kind of like a little miracle. Yeah. So if you're in the midst of something right now, and it's all confusing and confuddled and muddled, and you're just not sure, you know there's something you're supposed to be doing. You know there's some place you're headed. And it isn't, you know, to the store to buy, you know, cookies. You know, deep in your heart, there's something you're supposed to be doing. And it doesn't have to be on the religious side. You know, remember, God calls people for all kinds of reasons. Do they end up being more or less to his glory? Yes. But he's not calling you to be a preacher. I mean, it might be, but he's not calling you to be, you know, some TV evangelist. I mean, you might be, but I doubt it. Usually God calls us, I'll say the normal Joe and Joan Smith, to accomplish a task that in the end has some value to you, but over the greater. Most of the people who created soup kitchens or shelters came up with the idea for all kinds of things, not necessarily Christian in themselves, but Christian in the fact that, you know, you're doing something good. Those people had, you know, just an average life most of the time. It's not large corporations. And they followed it through. Look at all the stuff that Mother Teresa did. Pretty cool. So if God's called you to things that don't make any sense at the time, know that you're in good company. Most of us don't make sense of it at the time. And the bigger question is, how did you answer the call? How did you answer that call? Even when you discerned at some point that, oh, I think this is a God thing. Now, how did you answer that call? Did you do like most of us, turn and run away? No, I don't want to do this God thing. Give it to somebody else. No. Or did you stand and move through it? Moving through it is taking that faith. Yes, that thing that we call faith, unseen, unidentifiable, something inside that drives you. Same thing in the business world. You have faith in yourself that you can accomplish a task, and it never wavers. Now, faith in God is a much stronger thing in many ways, but it's all based on something unknown, unseen, that drives you to complete the task. Yeah. So when you think about something you're about to do and you say, oh, this is really crazy, just remember, that's probably one of the checkmark points that, ooh, this is a God thing. Take it through. See what happens. Yeah, okay, we're going to give my voice a rest, and we're going to do, oh, Mr. Engineer, I forgot what the other song was we were going to do. Okay, I'm not sure. See what happens when I try and read my own writing? It's a catastrophe. I write so fast sometimes that my brain doesn't even stop to think about what I'm writing. My hand's still going, and my brain stopped way back there. Yeah, it's kind of like the wrong slippers on the wrong feet. and then you try and read it back to yourself. It's like reading a lawyer's handwriting or a doctor. What the hen fat is he saying? So I'm going to pick a song since I don't remember. I can't find my song list. I'm lost without you, Ellen. Come back. Don't go to the dark side. So I'm going to pick a song, and it's going to be a Will of Titus song. And it's called The Armor of God, I believe. Hang on. I have my trusty Will of Titus CD here. Let me tell you. I cherish this thing. And hello, Marlene, if you're listening. And hello to my dear friend. I'm just going to insert some stuff here. My dear friend, Paige, who had surgery, very serious surgery today. I was able to get up and see her up in the ICU. And I hope you're resting, Paige, and getting well fast. And it's called, here we are. Boop, boop. His armor. That's what it's called, Mr. Engineer. Let's see if you have it.
Close is the scene to put on the armor of the Lord as the darkness plans. I must know to not be caught unaware.
Thank you for listening to The Journey 8, and please come back and join us again. Remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Judy Hausman.